Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Gridiron Beauties, week 10 of the NFL season, and today we have an amazing guest, Sammy Grassoffi, the number one quarterback in the women's gridiron game with Team USA. This year she basically conquered the world, 2010 gold medalist, 2013 gold medalist, and the WFA 2013 national championship quarterback for the Chicago Force, and we are going to have Sammy on right here in about 2 minutes. She's given us a little bit of her time. She's got an event going on, so we appreciate that. Let's introduce to you my name, Oscar Lopez, Week 10 NFL, and we have Erica Lynn Anderson. Are you on, Erica?
I'm here.
Awesome. So, Erica, we have kind of a weird NFL Week 10, so we'll go into detail at the half hour or so. So today we have Sammy Grassoffi off the bat here. And then right about 7:15, 7:20, we are going to have Megan and Bill Harris, who are the folks behind the Tackle Girls documentary. And that's going to take effect on hopefully 2014 Super Bowl. We're going to have that. So we'll talk to them about the documentary on the women's gridiron game, the event, the players, go into detail with them. So we should have Sammy Grassoffi here. So let me tell you a little bit about Sammy. Sammy's, like I said, world number one quarterback. Ended up retiring this year. She's done just about everything you can do in the women's game besides getting paid. So let's just be upfront with that, because if she got paid, she'd be like Brady money right now. But she doesn't have that. And on top of that, she's a very top-notch musician, and she's blossoming in that career. So we'll go into detail with her a little bit about all those things together. So let's say, Erica, do we have Sammy on now?
Hello.
Okay, Sammy, are you on?
I am. Can you hear me? I'm sorry. I'm in a theater right now, so it's a little bit loud.
Not a problem. Sammy, thank you for making the time today. I know it's kind of short notice within this week and so, and I really appreciate you coming on board with us. And I know you only have a limited amount of time.
Pleasure.
So we'll dive into some things here. Let's just go quickly into the firebox here. Gold medal win in Vantaa. You know, obviously the expectation from everybody was you guys were the better team, the top-notch team. And it came out true at this point. And then just recently this week, you guys were at the White House. So tell us a little bit about Vantaa and obviously now being, you know, kind of recognized nationally at the White House.
You know, it's pretty amazing thing. And, you know, Adrian Smith really went through through a lot to get us recognized there. And all the way back from when we won the gold medal with the 2010 team, we were both on that team together. And so she's been working that for a while, and it's nice that it finally came to fruition this year. So I wasn't able to attend, but it was cool for the team to be recognized there with us, with the few players that got to go.
And now, Sammy, I know, you know, you got, like, a huge transition now. You know, you go from the women's game well-known and all these years that you've played in it, and obviously recognize as probably – the best quarterback probably in the women's game in history right now, given your solid numbers and all your ratings that you had. And now you go into this transition with music. So how's that been going since you've since the season's ended?
Well, it's I've enjoyed my time away from the game a little bit too much maybe. And not only that to say, I've been very lazy, but I've had to get back after it and in the physical aspect. And a lot of it's been, you know, writing and putting on my business cap. I also co-own a record label. My business partner and manager, Kathy Curtis, we have a record label named Vicious Muse, and we've been doing a lot of stuff with the marriage equality fight here in Illinois. We just got that passed this week, so that's great. And
that was a huge step, actually, especially with everything that's going on nationally. That was a really huge step, so I'm pretty sure a lot of efforts went into that as well.
Yeah, it was really cool thing to be a part of. We actually, Vicious Muse, our company, ran the stage for the rally, for that big march that happened, and we were honored to be a part of it with Windy City Times and you know, obviously all of the amazing speakers that they had out that day and the politicians, and everybody put in a big push, and we were lucky, not lucky, we worked hard for it, but we were happy that it passed, so it was a victorious moment for us.
Now, Sammy, on that point, how does it affect the women's game? Is it something that will impact the women's game as well, in that sense, for support and all that?
The way I like to look at equality, I don't like to look at it as just one group's fight. It's everybody's fight for equality, and I think that's an important thing. And, you know, that goes to women's sports, women's athletics, and it's been a subject matter that's been talked a lot about recently with Title IX having that big anniversary and just talking about women in sports in general. So equality is equality, and I think that that's really an important thing to look at across the board, no matter what small group needs to achieve it.
Yeah, I mean, and you go back in history, you know, we had you have color barriers and you have other things. It's sort of equal in that sense, too. So that's great, you know, that obviously things, you know, like you said, with the effort and all the time that was put in, and then obviously something went through, and it's a positive, hopefully, going forward with a lot more opportunities for everybody else. So, Sammy,
absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, talking about the race thing, that's the great thing about, that's my favorite thing about both music and sports, is that it doesn't matter what race you are, what socioeconomic background, what sexuality, what gender, when it comes down to playing a sport, it's just individuals are judged only on their efforts and their integrity. And I think that that's really one of the things I really enjoy about sports and music, and it brings people together and for one common goal, and whether that's to win or to move people, you know, that's what I think sports and music have a lot in common, and that's why I'm happy to be a part of both of those.
Yeah, and you were also a big part of the, you know, the festivities in Vonta, because you were kind of a focal point with your, you know, your rendition of the national anthem. So, you know, the status, you have a really good, I would say, you know, a good status in terms of representation for the women's game, and I think everybody applauds your efforts. Not to take away from any of the other players that you mentioned, you know, Adrian Smith and all the folks behind the background that we probably don't recognize as much, but overall, you know, it's great to that you're at the forefront of it and you're making a transition to music, and that also relates to, you know, how that can be a positive for women's gridiron as well, because you played in it, you know what it is, you know the struggles of it. And going into the music business, I think it's kind of the same steps in a lot of ways until you, I wouldn't say make it big, but until, you know, you break through and then you get an opportunity to where now you really showcase your talent.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And to touch a little bit on what you were saying, you know, that is what was really great about Team USA. There are so many of the players that my teammates that I got to play with on Team USA that it was just a complete honor, and they really all need to be highlighted, because that's what inspires everybody, you know, and you can't be a leader without people that are there to support. Everybody has to support each other, whatever that role may be. And I just really feel like both Team USA, that the 2010 team and the 2013 team, really had a group full of women who checked their egos at the door, and they were willing to be a part, a piece of a machine that had one common goal in mind. And that's what our success is attributed to, absolutely.
Now, Sammy, what was your impression of the rest of the squads? Because everybody has a very good positive aspect of the rest of the squads that were representing different countries. and everybody has this thing in their mindset that the improvement there, and especially with USA football being back, you know, backing up Team USA, it just seems like the European nations have good supportive, foundations. So you think in 2017 we're going to see a more competitive game than what we saw in 2013?
Absolutely. I mean, it was more competitive this time around than it was the first. And while the score may not show that, the level of play was heightened, absolutely. And that is exactly what we want. I mean, while it's great to blow people out of the water and it's fun, it's not, I mean, that's not what we want for the sport. It's not fun for the people watching the game. And they're absolutely more fundamentally sound than they were in 2010. And they're absolutely more athletic and more there's more cohesive play that's happening with all those other countries and their teams. And the game, I mean, they're taking lots. It was clear they took game film and they improved upon their performance in 2010. 2017, I expect to see the same level, if not more, exponential growth with the European teams, absolutely.
Now, based on your music transition right now, I know you're on YouTube. You're breaking out with the new company you're talking about with, you know, doing things. Are you going to, if I can, you know, joke around, are you going to the Oscar De La Hoya mentality where you're going to maybe, make something of yourself and then help out others as you grow your company?
Absolutely. The whole desire with the music is the world a little bit. And I know that sounds really broad and like a great, huge goal, but I think that we're in a place right now where the world is hungry for some change. And from a social standpoint, that's what I really would like the music to do. And music's really been responsible for a lot of social movements in the past. If you just look at the civil rights movement, I mean, music was a huge piece of that. And even everything that was going on during Vietnam, and music was a big part of that. And I think right now there is a struggle, and it's time for us to move to the next step. And that's where I'd like my music to go, and I'd like to help out as many people as I can along the way. I've been lucky to have amazing mentors in my life, both with acting and music and sports, and I feel like that's very important, was very important and instrumental for me in my life, and absolutely I'd love to hand that to some younger people, whatever their, if I can help in any way, I want to be a part of that.
That's such a great accomplishment, and at the same time, you know, your willingness to, like you said, you know, participate and make others participate within your goal, and hopefully, you know, down the road here, like you said, it's going to blossom to something wonderful, and it has already. But you know, status-wise, you know, a national attention would be great, and then obviously anything local always better than national attention because it's more rooted. So, Sammy, before we let you go, I know you got a couple minutes here. Let us know where fans can dive into you, obviously with your music. I know you can find it on YouTube, and you can just, search Sammy Grassoffi on there, and you can pretty much find everything else. So where can the fans dive into you and your music and obviously things off the field now that you're not playing?
Well, there's a lot of exciting things happening, and I guess the best place to look for it is at my website, which is sammygrassoffi.com, or even just checking out, like you said, YouTube. But that's probably the best. And my Facebook. Those are the best places. And I tweet a lot, as you know. You and I have our late night tweet sessions talking about how frustrated we are.
And that works great for me because I don't sleep. That's what people say. But I do sleep,
yes,
by the way. Let's clear that out.
I don't do much of that either. So, but I would say that's probably the best thing. We have a music video coming out hopefully in December, early December. And we have a few other projects that are really starting to bud. We also just got made it past the first round of Grammy nominations for a few songs. So if people check out the music and you share it, that'd be really helpful because the more exposure we have, the better shot we have at the final Grammy nomination. So. Check it out.
So we will go ahead and link those out. We'll link those out as soon as you let us know, and then we'll try to get the buzz going on Twitter and Facebook, and I know we got Instagram as well. So any way we can do socially on the media aspect of it, like you said, it's going to make a huge impact.
That would be, yeah, that'd be wonderful. And, you know, I always tell people, like, I'll have people come up and they'll be like, how can I help? And really the best thing to do is if you honestly and earnestly like what you hear with the music, then just tell your friends about it. It's the best way to do it. Just share. Because
exactly.
That's way more incentivized to hear that a friend likes something and than it is to hear some major, you know, company tell you that somebody's paying them to tell you it's good. You know what I mean? So it's an integrity promotion, I call it.
And I agree. I mean, that's basically what it boils down to, integrity promotion. Sammy, what we'll do is we'll dive into you a little bit more thoroughly if you can. I'll set up another interview maybe after December within that time frame that you're getting that thing pushed out into a promotion state, and that way we can dive into maybe Chicago Force 2013 season and talk about the wonderful receivers and the offensive, you know, the defensive line as well as the offensive line and your all-stars. So I know we're limited
absolutely.
On time today, but I do appreciate you coming on board and being a part of the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for all the work you're doing to get women involved with the greatest sport on earth, in my opinion. You guys are doing a great job with all of your retweeting and just the information that you're pumping out to women that are either involved with the game or are interested in the game, and I think what you're doing is great stuff, so. Thank you guys for
thanks, Sammy.
For
really appreciate it. We have nothing but good things coming on board in the next couple months. We're sponsoring Women's Gridiron. We are doing a lot of things. They're going to get exposure marketing-wise. So hopefully that will come to fruition as well, like you talked about with your music. And then we bash that out, and hopefully, you know, eventually the deserving ladies will get their just due in showtime, as I call it. And then people will realize, you know, that it's not just the as they call it, the lingerie angle. It's actually the reality of traditional football that obviously will stand out with the women's game.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for fighting the good fight.
All right. Enjoy the event. Thanks for coming on board. I really appreciate it. We'll be in contact, like I said, when your next featured event comes up, and we can pair up that and then kind of promote that well.
That sounds great, man. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Enjoy your afternoon. Thank you for coming on. Have
all
safe
right.
travels.
Cheers.
All right, Erica, so that was Sammy Grisafi, and Sammy Grisafi on a level of the NFL would be your Tom Brady. So if I can equate that, she would be the Tom Brady of the women's game. She is 2010 gold medalist on the initial tournament that they had this past year, 2013, in Vanta. She had literally amassed 262.53 rating. Back in, I believe, in 2010, she had over 300 yards in the tournament. And this past year,
oh, wow.
It was no different. She had a career lifetime rating before she retired this year. So before she retired, she was at 131.3, which is better than any NFL quarterback, you know, in a state like that. And she basically went this year gold medalist. And on top of that, she took her Chicago Force to the national championship, which would be considered the Super Bowl of the women's game. Even though last year she lost it to San Diego, they literally were outscoring people about 45 points each week. It's at 8 weeks. So if you look at it that
wow.
way, they were blowing people out 45 to, you know, above 45 points. Kind of like the greatest show on earth mentality. And they capped it off with the national championship. So, and on top of that, I think I linked you some things. She's a great musician. She's transitioning into that aspect of it. Big promoter of music. She loves music on top of the, you know, the football. So that she's an amazing athlete, and on top of that, an amazing woman.
That's awesome.
Yep. So we are going to have her on probably in December, like we talked to her earlier, and she's going to have another event coming up. Do you know if Megan and Bill are on right now?
No, they're not on.
Nobody's on the switchboard right now?
Nope.
All right, no problem. So as soon as they come on, let me know, and then we'll go dive in. So in the meantime, we can dive into the NFL. Sort of surprises, right? Jacksonville wins their
yeah.
first game against the Titans, and then Locker mm-hmm. apparently gets knocked out. That was a shocker. And then Rams bashing the Colts. Okay.
Yeah.
G-Man on a roll. I was just kind of a week 10, like, shocker for in every
yeah.
aspect. And
49ers
good for rolling
lost.
Again on another win. Yeah.
Yeah.
Panthers
won
their
crazy.
And we have no Patriots this week, so.
No Patriots, so I had a stress-free Sunday.
So what was your response on the your reaction on the Jaguars winning? I mean, I knew you were sitting there going, "What? Jaguars?"
Yeah, I was. I was a little sad for Jake Locker because I love Jake Locker. He played at University of Washington, and that's my college. That's my college team. So I kind of have a soft spot for Jake Locker. So it made me a little sad that that his team got beat by the winless Jaguars, who are no longer winless. But yeah, I was a little surprised. You know, they put up 29 points and kind of got out there and got it done. I guess they were just tired of not having a win. So.
Yeah, and the surprising one was the Colts and the Rams. I mean, I'm a Ram fan, but I did not expect, this team to come out. And then I did not expect the Colts to come out to be this flat. And then Luck, three interceptions. It's kind of like,
they
just laid an egg today for some reason. They just laid an egg at home.
Yeah, and especially, without not having Bradford, you think maybe they were suffering from some leadership issues. You know, you'd kind of expect that from a team when their quarterback goes out, but they didn't appear like that at all. They put up 21 points in the second quarter, and they just went out there and, they looked great.
Yeah, and the thing that surprised me was the defense really played a good game today. The Ram defense, you had Chris Long with the interception for a touchdown, and then special teams huge with Tavon Austin leading the way. He's a breakout star. The problem here, I think, is Schottenheimer is not really devising the plan to his skill set, and if he does that. That's something, they have to make him if they want him to succeed, they have to make him no different than Calvin Johnson in Detroit. He has to be a factor in the game. I mean, he has to have that one-on-one matchup. He's got to be able to, have that one escapability catch. Today they showed that he has that potential, on the run catch, and he's got speed. Nobody's going to catch him if he gets, broken out. So it was kind of strange that they finally – realize it, and I think Clemens, for me, he's a decent backup. He's a good quarterback. I just don't think he's great, but he's a decent quarterback to do what they ask him to do. To mix the run and the pass. I think he'll be okay for the end of the season.
Yeah.
You agree?
How about I think so. I don't know a whole lot about him, to be honest. But after today's game, I think that he's okay there. I don't think he's going to bomb horribly. I think like you said, he's a good replacement. He's definitely not like starter material. I don't think he's going to take the job away from Bradford, but he's a good temporary fit for them.
Yeah, and Jay Cutler, you have to, if we go to Detroit and Chicago right now. I have no idea. We talked about this off the air. I have no idea why they would take McCown out after he had a pretty decent game last week, and then you throw Cutler in, who obviously was injury prone, and the whole game you could tell he was injury prone. I mean, he had the hip flexor or whatever. That was just a total mistake by Trestman. Oh, the groin. There you go. Groin. Total mistake by Trestman.
And then, but then they said that he didn't go out today because he re-injured his groin. He went out today because he sprained his ankle. That's what they said.
Either way, I'm just going to say the guy wasn't ready to come back. I mean, just wasn't ready. And if you were a fantasy owner, you were very angry today because you were pissed off. You were literally giving some false hope of succeeding, and he probably didn't do squat for you except for a couple points. But even then, he's not consistent. So now you got to look for another quarterback. So if you had him on your lineup, now you got to switch your lineup, and now you got to figure out how to scramble on the waiver wire. So totally different mindset, that I'm having. But at the same time, it was just disappointing that the coaching, the Trestman, as good as he is right now, and he had a good squad, he decided to play what I consider an injury-prone quarterback, not ready to come back. And I think the kid in the last 8 minutes of the game that I saw, McCown is good. I mean, he's not great, but he's good. And given Forte and the receivers that they have, I mean, he doesn't have to do much. Just has to, once in a while pass and get the first down or something. But I don't know. Just it was just questionable. There's kind of like what Minnesota has did in the beginning of the year, you know, with you know, with the Ponder and everybody else situation there. It's like, and like you said before, not giving Matt Castle any type of opportunity to showcase, you know, his abilities. It's just I don't know. This just kind of you have to question the coaches now in some aspects.
You do, definitely. Well, and, you know, Jay Cutler, even healthy, isn't that impressive. So then you put him in, you know, probably halfway injured, and I don't know what you expect from him, you know. So it's, yeah. And then, hey, look at the Vikings. Ponder goes out, Castle takes over, and what happens? The Vikings make this huge comeback to beat the Redskins on Thursday. You know,
yeah, nobody knows, but
I was actually happy
for Adrian Peterson in a lot of ways. I don't know. I just didn't feel bad for Washington on that day. I was like, yeah, finally, you know, finally. He, the game that he should have had when the whole incident happened with his family, that was the game he had on that day. So it was kind of deserving, you know, that they actually fought back. They won. Griffin, to me, is still injury prone. You know, same situation as the Bears, same situation as the Vikings. I mean, it's like, I know he's a good quarterback and everything, but you're waiting for a defense to just, you know, end his career, as they say, because he's got so much leg injuries right now that he needed to take some time off and heal. But, you know, and just the way it goes, I guess the coaches know better, and obviously based on medical feedback, they assume that they're ready to go back and take the realm of it. Let's dive into the one thing that I was totally shocked. Gene went on a roll and literally scathing by, and on top of that, Eli Manning still throwing interceptions. So kind of weird. And the G-Man defense kind of steps up. The last 3 weeks on these wins is that the defensive core has stepped up to bail out Eli Manning. So what are your feelings on that?
I continually feel like they do just keep skating by. I feel like I don't know how the Giants are doing it, but they're doing it. And I don't know. For me, it's a little frustrating. I probably am a little more frustrated being a Patriots fan. I'm not, I don't like the Giants. But, you know, they're imploding completely. And like you said, if it weren't for their defense, they would do nothing. I mean, yeah, they did put up 24 points today, which is a miracle, like you said, considering the way Eli Manning is playing. But, I have no idea what is going on over there, because I think we've talked about, you would look at aspects of the Giants and you would say, well, you know, there's nothing glaringly obvious, like, you know, Eli Manning's performance, obviously, he's not doing great, but it's not like you would get rid of him, you know, it's kind of just odd situations, I guess.
Yeah, and they're rebounding in a positive sense, because, you know, their defense is stepping up. Eli is not throwing the 3-interception average anymore. It's kind of like 1 average. So they're kind of like rebounding themselves into this NFC East division. So tonight will be a very good question as to whether the Saints rebound from the loss last week and they take care of the Cowboys, and that will affect that division, because Philadelphia with Knowles today in Green Bay, I don't believe Michael Vick's coming back. Just kind of hunch there. He's playing two good balls the last 2 weeks, 10 touchdowns. He's got Riley Cooper on his right hip. You know what I mean? It's like LaShawn Johnson.
Yep.
Everybody is there for this young kid to kind of blossom. And the Chip Kelly system kind of fits him. If you watch the game, he's managing the game pretty well, except for that one pick. I think it was not even a pick. It was like a fumble, I think it was. But other than that, he's managed the game pretty well the last 2 weeks. He's put out some points, but as somebody on Twitter pointed to me, he hasn't played very good caliber teams yet. So the question is, you know, what will he do versus, let's say, a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, you know, a competition.
Yeah.
So he hasn't faced that yet. But, you know, you can't make the schedule. So based on what they're at now, I think they're better off with Foles than they are with even Vic returning.
Definitely. Vic's, you know, he's injury prone, and I don't know. I just see that Vic's on the tail end of his career here, not just in Philadelphia. I feel like he's on the tail end of his career in general. And I think that Foles now has a little bit of confidence, and I think that's what we're seeing. I think that he's like, oh, wait, I can do this, you know. And so that I think we're seeing him kind of blossom. Like you said, he fits well in there, and he's taking control. He's getting into that leadership mode, and I think that, you know, we'll be able to tell really in the next couple of weeks whether this is a genuine performance by him, whether this will be our kind of our standard that we can judge him by, or because I don't think the last couple of weeks have been flukes. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the whole premise there is, I think that he's just a better quarterback. I mean, given the options that they have, you know, he's the better fit, and he's done a good job so far. And I think he's ready. I mean, he's shown that he can manage the ball, so that's a good sign for Philadelphia. That makes the NFC East race a very tight race now, because you have Dallas, who's literally up and down, and we don't know what they'll do against the Saints this week. The Saints coming off their, you know, their game last week, which they didn't do, you know, they didn't manage it very well as well. So kind of like two teams there even. And then you got Washington, who's on the fence, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And Philadelphia is on the uprise. So, you know, I really think Philadelphia has the momentum for the division, to capture the division right now, especially if Dallas somehow loses tonight against New Orleans.
Yeah. All yeah,
right.
Yeah. You don't know who's going to show up, you never know which Dallas team is showing up. So,
yeah, and that's the great thing about it. This week, I think, showed exactly on any given Sunday, you can lose, you can win. And today was one of those days, you know. And you even said before we came on air that San Francisco and who was it? They're playing. San Francisco's playing
Panthers.
The Panthers. And we were,
yeah.
You said we were looking at a defensive game there, right?
Oh, definitely, yes. 9-10 was the final score with the Panthers winning.
And that is a smile to my face. I don't know why, but it is a smile to my face, because it's a great feeling, NFC West-wise. And Seattle, I think Seattle today didn't play too bad either. I mean, they pretty much romped Atlanta. And speaking of Atlanta, you know, where are they? I mean, where is Atlanta? I mean, they have not been, I don't know, they're just not good. They haven't been good in the last 3 weeks. Where are they? I mean, and in that division right now, the only salvage grace is Tampa Bay that's saving them from being in the cellar.
Yeah, I expected more from Atlanta, definitely. I really like Matt Ryan. I think he's a solid quarterback, and I think he has the potential to be Hall of Fame quarterback. I really do. So it's really a mystery as to what's going on with them. It's like they're not clicking. They're not, you know, there's just like a lack of communication, maybe. I'm not sure. I expected more out of them for sure.
And they're injury prone, so we have to kind of note that too. They're not healthy. Their receiving core is shot. You know, the front offensive line has struggled. So, you know, all that, taking into account, you know, as they all say, we're not making excuses. But technically, that is what's going on in Atlanta right now. They're just literally banged up, and they're not able to compete at a high level. So especially today against Seattle, you know, Seattle's D is top-notch. You know, obviously Wilson is way better than, you know, in terms of competitive quarterback. And you throw in Golden Tate, who's been, like, you know, literally on fire. You throw in Marshawn Lynch today, which – literally just blew up on fantasy. So, you know, Seattle just, I don't know, they were just the better team today. And given the situation that Atlanta has with all the injuries, the end result was really a romp. I think it was 33-10, if I was right. So it was kind of a bashing at home, of all places. There was a nice tweet earlier in the week for me. It says, Because the only thing positive out of this season for Atlanta will be if they acquire their new stadium, but can they fill it? So that was the tweet of the week. So they're getting a new stadium. Are they able to? Huh?
Oh.
No, that was a joke on Twitter saying they're going to get a new stadium, but are they able to fill it? You know, based on their circumstances right now, they're not playing good ball. So it's like you're moving from the Georgia Dome to some other dome, but you know you're able to support it. And because I guess they have a hard time bringing out the fans in Atlanta. Unless they're winning, it's sort of like second nature. They're the forgotten team in a lot of ways. They're not bringing in the fans to pack the stadium. So it's kind of a tough market,
yeah.
I guess, for them in that sense. Let's go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say this season has been probably one of the most injured seasons I have ever seen. And not just like normal injuries, like season-ending injuries. I don't know that I've ever seen this many season-ending injuries in a long time across the board.
Yeah,
it's
and you have to question the change, like we said earlier in a couple shows back. You have to question the change in terms of, off-season programs that were obviously mandated or changed by the Players Association. So I don't know if that affected everything, you know, in a sense. The preparation, maybe players weren't as, ready. But it's showcasing a lot of injuries, to your point. And then not on top of the concussion, you know, big concussion thing, everybody assumes that, you know, got knee injuries, blown ACLs, you got hip flexors now. I mean, it's just all these weird injuries that you would never think about. Now they're coming out.
Yeah. Arian Foster just was put on season-ending IR with back surgery, which is a huge loss. It is. It's just really odd. You know, the Patriots have been hit really hard with injuries. I know the Packers have been hit really hard. There are certain teams that are just full of injuries, but just a lot of season-ending ones that I'm seeing. Like you said, is it preparation? Is it the rule changes? Is it, you know, what's happening now that all of a sudden everyone's so injured?
Yeah, and it makes you wonder about nutrition, and you would think that these the players would have, you know, the means to stay fit and do that. But, you know, I guess at the same time, they are fragile, they are human. We kind of consider them super warriors, but in reality, you know, they're ordinary people like me and you, just with a higher fitness level. So at some point, you know, it's no different than anybody else. You get an injury, you get an injury. So now, Erica, we had Calvin Johnson. Somebody tweeted me on Twitter. Would you consider Calvin Johnson at this point the best receiver in the National Football League?
One of the best, yes, for sure.
One of the best?
One of the best. Yeah, one of
the best,
for sure. I always hesitate
who would be the
to
best,
say
Erica?
The best. I don't know. I have a handful of receivers I consider the best. I kind of put them in a group. I wouldn't say one's better than the other, but I like to put them in a bit of a group. But, you know, definitely up there, yes. It's hard for me to – I don't watch him a lot because I don't watch the Lions. But when I look at his stats and knowing that he's catching balls from Matthew Stafford, who I kind of equate to be a little bit of a mediocre quarterback, he's got to be just positively amazing. I mean, can you imagine if he was catching balls from, like, a Brady or a Manning, what he could accomplish?
Okay.
So,
well, of course not. We can't imagine that because if we did, Brady would be like literally more than God now.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah,
but
that's my idea. Calvin Johnson, come to the Patriots. We will welcome you.
Of course. Why not, Erica? Why don't you throw it out there and just say, we welcome you in New England. Come to us.
That's right.
To your point, you had Randy Moss. Point.
Yes.
You had Randy Moss. And look what Randy Moss did.
Oh, I love that guy. I miss him.
I know, but everybody will question. He went to the best team, the best opportunity to win a Super Bowl, and guess what? Randy Moss still did not win a Super Bowl. And probably the most agile receiver, you'd have to put him up there in, like, top five, if not top three, Moss. I would consider Johnson right now. In the way of Barry Sanders, in the way because I think he will never get an opportunity to go on a big stage like a Jerry Rice, in the playoff mode. And so to your point, yes, great receiver, a good receiver, not great receiver, because of the fact that if he doesn't make it in the playoffs to showcase that talent and get his team to the next level, then I guess he cannot be considered great. But great in Detroit in terms of, I'm pretty sure he's going to be a shoe-in as a legendary player, no different than Barry Sanders, mm-hmm. in a Hall of Fame status. So I think he's already put himself at the level of, when you talk about, top five receivers in the National Football League, mm-hmm. you have to bring his name up within that class.
Yeah. It's Marino syndrome.
Erica, Andy Dalton, I don't know. Andy Dalton, today was just, it was weird. Cincinnati, just inconsistency on this guy. On one week he's good, then he's okay, and then all of a sudden now he's literally inconsistent. I mean, besides Bernard helping him out today, he had two touchdowns plus three interceptions. And then against Baltimore, who has also struggled, which is Flacco has not played a good game all season, and today was no different, and they just squeezed by on that Hail Mary throw at the end, and they go to overtime, and they kind of squeeze by it. But what's your assessment of Cincinnati right now?
I think Cincinnati is they're in limbo a little bit, I feel like. I feel like they could be good if they would, like you said, get some consistency there, but it's just not there because Andy Dalton, when he plays at his optimal level, right, when Andy Dalton plays his best, he's awesome. I mean, you're just like, wow, this guy can really play, but he doesn't always do that. He shows up and you're like, well, what's he going to do today? And so that, to me, you kind of got to demolish them a little bit in terms of the success of their team. Last year he took him to the playoffs for the first time, I think, and they didn't get very far, and I don't know. They better figure it out or they're just going to kind of find themselves coasting throughout I don't know how long, But.
And you know what? A couple shows back, I said, they're almost ready because of the fact that at the time the Steelers were faltering, the Browns were mm-hmm. the Browns, and Baltimore mm-hmm. is still somewhat not very good football team. So they would have been the front runners for that division. But now when you look at week 10 and you look at the inconsistencies that they put up against Baltimore within their division, and then you look at Pittsburgh, who today I think Pittsburgh was on another win, if I'm correct. I think they won again today.
Yeah, they beat the Bills.
Yeah, so they're coming back, okay? And so give Pittsburgh on week 11 and week 12, and if they win, now they're in the mix, okay? And given the fact that they were bad to begin with at the beginning of the season, now it's like Cincinnati's kind of regressing back, and they're not owning it. In other words, they're not wanting it for some reason. They're scaling back. And this is a prime opportunity for them to, Baltimore, they should have, I wouldn't say blown out, but they should have put up 30 points against Baltimore based on their, their intake that they had a couple weeks. It should have been 30 points, but they struggled against the Ravens.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird, that 51-yard Hail Mary, and they go into overtime, and then they lose. It's kind of like, oh, wait, we want to, we want to win this game, but maybe we don't want to win this game. It's kind of it's an odd situation. Like you said, the Ravens just aren't very impressive this year, the Bengals definitely should have done more against them.
Yeah, and that's the disappointment, I think, for Cincinnati fans is really that their leader right now is showing no real consistency, and you would have thought that would have been the case, progression, in other words, but there's no progression there. It's like degression, if there's a word for it. He's just decreasing in terms of his capabilities. Buffalo against Pittsburgh is not a bad deal, but Buffalo I don't think is ready. And your division is, the Patriots, Jets, Miami is what we need to sit down on right now because Miami takes on the lowly Tampa Bay Bucks. So what are your feelings there? Obviously, we're talking within your division now.
Yeah. You know, Miami, they've got all this, you know, crap going on with Martin and Incognito and all of these things going on that I think could really impact this game. They've had this they have this media circus surrounding them. There's some distractions now that people are asking players about what's happening. And I feel like that we could definitely see that have a negative impact on this game tonight and or Monday, sorry. And that I think that Tampa Bay has a really chance here to do something, to maybe get their first win. Maybe them and the Jags can get their first win in the same week. Because I just feel like Miami's just in disarray. There's obviously a very big leadership issue in Miami and a coaching issue with all of the stuff that's going on, because somebody's not managing those players properly. Somebody is not doing what they need to be doing, and it could be a chance for the Bucs to get a win.
Yeah, and both teams right now, if you know, when you break it down, both teams are really, they're not good. Miami started to kind of show some sort of signs that they were going to elevate their game this year, and then they just go this way. And given the, you know, the controversy, if you want to call it, I don't know where people go with this, but I'll tell you right now, being a player, playing, you know, through high school and junior college and all that, being a player, bullying has existed since mankind, okay? So I have no idea why they're making this such a big deal. And if somebody did go overboard, yes, I agree with you, it's the coaching group that should be responsible for not curbing that or putting some sort of mandate on it to stop that. But overall, I mean, it happens in every locker room. Whether it goes extreme like this, maybe not. But that's also owned on the coaching. And, you know, I was listening to the NFL Network a long time during the week, and I agree. You know, it really falls on the coaching. And the coaching responsibility is to monitor these players. And if the players go out of boundaries, then it's their job to bring them back into a, you know, situation where they understand that this is not acceptable by the organization. No different than what the Patriots did with, Hernandez. You know what I mean? It's just you have to eliminate the cancer, because the bottom line is he's not benefiting you long-term now. So why would you have a relationship? And I think that's where the bottom line is. Incognito, I think, you know, he's been a player with problems since he got into the league. So now that, you know, we have the situation in Miami, it just shows that everybody has either turned a blind eye or has decided that they didn't want to deal with him personally.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that this is going to affect their playing and affect, I mean, you know, like you said, they're not good anyway. It's not like they needed anything else. Tannehill's got no protection. I've said that over and over, but I'm just appalled at the lack of protection the guy gets. I mean, sacked, I mean, a couple weeks ago, they had already amassed like 32 sacks by week 8. That's ridiculous. There's no reason why your quarterback should be sacked that many times. And you add this in, and it just, you know, is a recipe for absolute disaster.
Okay, so right now, given Miami State, are you feeling great in Week 11? Are you feeling like the only obstacle is the Jets? Is that how your feelings are right now?
Yes, that is my feeling. Especially when we lost to the Jets, that's really, you know, if we wouldn't have lost to the Jets, I would feel really good about where we're at in the division. I would almost say, hey, we're going to clinch the division. But since we lost to the Jets that week, but I feel really good about it. I think the Jets are really our only obstacle here. The Bills and Miami are not much of an obstacle for us.
Now, on that same note, Erica, you have the blossoming potential of Amendola, but you also have the fact that he might go back to injury. So a lot of the fans on Twitter were saying, Patriots, great game, that one game, but can he be consistent and stay healthy? So technically, I think Patriot fans are hoping Amendola evolves into the Welker state as we get into the playoff push.
Yeah. You know, if you just look at Amendola, I would say, you know, initially I was really, you know, they have, you know, their week, I think it was their third year staff in the NFL were almost identical. You know, they went to the same college. They're roughly the same size. But Welker never had that injury potential, and Amendola had that injury potential back in St. Louis. So I'm really hesitant to rely on him. I'm really hoping that Belichick does not plan the game around Amendola because I don't think that he's reliable at this point. I'm thinking we should be implementing Edelman more. Obviously, Gronk being back is great. We need to get Dobson and Tompkins, get them more consistent with catching the ball. If we have Amendola, great, but I think that we should also have a plan where if he's not there, we're not SOL, you know. So
do you think Rex Ryan's Jets are ready to be competitive? I mean, the huge win. They figure they're on the top of the mountain. He did guarantee a win this week, of course, because it's a bye week. So that was a good win for New York. But other than that, I'm with you. I don't think they're a threat. They've never really been a threat. They've had hints of threats. But if the Patriots do, like you said, make some changes, I think Amendola is a good third receiver. I just don't think he's a good first receiver. He's not durable enough for that. So, but I mean, in certain situations, like you're in the red zone, probably the guy to go to. He would be a good person because he's right there for that. Not, you know, every down guy, probably not at this point, but specialty guy, I think he would be a great, you know, your Welker in the end zone, just like Manning and Denver's using, they're using him right now with Wes Welker and with the Broncos scheme. Okay, let's figure this out for week 11. Go ahead.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say Amendola either – you know, we used Welker a lot over the middle. That was, you know, his big thing. But in order to be an over-the-middle receiver, you have to be really durable and you have to be able to take those hits. And Amendola just isn't that type of receiver. So I think that's initially what they were thinking to use him for, but they need to keep him away from the middle because he'll end up injured again.
Yeah, and the concussion issues with him have continued to be the main factor behind that. You put him into the middle, and he, 9 times out of 10, he's going to get out. I mean, he's going to be pretty much back on the injury list. But I think if we use him, if you use him exactly like we're saying, if you use him just in the specialty areas, he's a good receiver, good hands. He's very, very reliable. So I think maybe that's their key right there. Now you get into a situation that you get a boring Monday night game. So let's just go into – because we only got a couple minutes here, I believe – where we're at 7 minutes to go here in the show. So Bill Harris and Megan Harris, I believe they did not call in, but it could be a situation where there's a time issue. So I will address with her and then maybe get her back on next week. So I do apologize for not having them on today, but we will go ahead and reschedule with them. So, and then we'll dive into the Tackle Girls documentary as well. So let's go into Monday night. You remember a couple Monday nights, the horrible game? I mean, you could literally just go to sleep. It was like a Pee Wee high school bad game. I mean, I was like, literally, are you serious? I'm paying for this? I'm kidding. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, do you expect Miami and Tampa Bay Monday night to be sort of boring? That's literally what I'm getting down to.
I do. I expect that to be a snooze fest for sure. I just don't see much there. Neither one of them have explosive offenses. And neither one of them have very good defenses. So I just think it makes up for an inchworm game. I could be wrong, but I think that it's going to end up just the diehard fans will be watching, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So the next week, Erica, we have Titans. We were coming off this injury quarterback situation, and I think they had Fitzpatrick in today, which he's durable. He's been pretty good, even when with Buffalo and then even before with the Rams, he was pretty decent quarterback, and he got big money in Buffalo, and then all of a sudden they ship him out or whatever. So Titans against Andrew Luck. Now, okay, Titans probably not at the same level as the Colts, but given today's results, can we really trust the Colts to come out and be a good game on a short week?
If they don't make some adjustments, and if Andrew Luck doesn't fix whatever happened today, the Colts are going to find themselves in another position like they were today and losing a game they shouldn't have lost. So, yeah, they need to find out what happened today and fix it.
So we're pulling down the show here. Week 11, Kansas City undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. Denver, I'm assuming they won today because they were blowing out San Diego. It's like 28-6 or something like that. So Denver wins. Did they win?
Yeah, 28-20 they won.
Oh, wow, okay. So now let's just dive into week 11 because everybody's coming back. Patriots coming back, Jets coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You got KC's coming back. And then you have obviously Denver that played well today. So let's go AFC here. You expect obviously the Patriots to take the East based on what we just talked about. So you're thinking they'll take the East. So let's dive into the West. So will it be a battle between can Kansas City stay with their playing? Because everybody doesn't believe that they're real. They haven't shown an explosive game yet all season. So can Kansas City stay up with the Denver Broncos in terms of scoring? That's the question.
Yeah. I think Kansas City is real. I've heard that a lot about them. But, I feel like they're such a consistent team that, they're not blowing people out, but they're winning consistently. They're just doing the same thing every week, and it's working for them. I think that if Kansas City can neutralize Welker and Decker and all of these, weapons that Manning has and get some pressure on Manning, flush him out of the pocket because he is not – that guy rolls out, that's it. The down is over. I think if Kansas City does that, they will win that game.
Yeah, and that's what
that's
what it boils down to is can Kansas City go up to that level, to play the Broncos? That's the real question everybody wants to know. So, yeah, I mean, are they that for real where they're going to stay competitive? And I know their defense is somewhat decent, but Denver's been putting up over 30 points a game, so you've got to match that if you're going to stay in a game.
Yeah, and I'm confident that they can because the Broncos don't have a very impressive defense. And Alex Smith is a really great quarterback. He's got good protection, and he's got some great offensive weapons. So I'm confident that Kansas City can play up to this level and that they can do this because the Broncos' defense isn't the greatest out there. And I'm picking the Chiefs to beat the Broncos in that game.
So you're going Chiefs. I think they'll pull it off. Smith is good. I want to give the edge to Manning right now. Until he gets closer, I think advantage Manning. So we got a couple minutes left here. We are going to be diving into next week when we come in. Everybody, I think, saw on Twitter, there's a big Inside Edition scope that was done on the Lingerie Football League in terms of their policies, procedures, and practices. So we will dive into the topic next week at the beginning of the hour and kind of give you my perspective on it. The link has not been archived, so I got to search for that and kind of dissect that. The other games that were going on in the women's game, it was in Mexico, and we will update the LIBF scores as well as the PGFL and on top of that the FXF scores as well on our Twitter and Facebook pages. And we will dive into the Female Gridiron League of Queensland, which will go into the playoff mode starting next week towards the Summer Bowl. And we will dive into that on Facebook. And Christy Moran, we've got to give her a shout-out. An amazing game for the Jets. They beat 6-0 but on last-minute touchdown. So shout-out to her for the Jets. And they're working towards a repeat championship. So 2012 inaugural FGLQ champs, and they're building towards the playoffs positioning. And the Rays with Lauren Evans. And I want to announce that Lauren Evans has come on board as a no-joke football-sponsored girl, and she will be sporting the no-joke football gear through this season and next season as well and going forward. So congratulations to Lauren Evans, the top quarterback, number 7, of the Gold Coast Stingrays. So we appreciate that. And we have Tessa Barrera now sporting our no-joke football gear as well. and we are on board. We have the GoFundMe.com/NoJokeFootballFund, and that's going to be the fund. You can donate a dollar or any more items, and you get three levels of rewards on that site, so you can check it out. If you donate, every dollar that's donated there is allocated, and it's going to be put together towards sponsorship for anything with the women's game and youth groups. So if you need more information, you can direct message us on Facebook. Otherwise, go to GoFundMe.com/NoJokeFootball to donate a dollar if you want to do that or more, depending on what you want to donate. So we appreciate everybody's support. We appreciate Sammy Grisafi for coming on, making the time today. I know she was a busy lady. The number one world-ranked quarterback, obviously, next year, see who stands out. And we appreciate her time. We'll bring her on, obviously, in December for her endeavors as well. So, Erica, it's been kind of an exciting show. We had, the best quarterback in the women's game, which is your Tom Brady. And on top of that, we dived into Week 10 with a lot of question marks.
Yep. She was impressive, I have to say. I loved hearing what she had to say, and she's got a great message. I love everything she's trying to do. I wish there were more people in sports and in her position out there like her. She just seems like a great person and really talented, and I'm excited. I'm going to watch for her now and look to see what she's doing. I just really enjoyed hearing her.
Yeah, and if you check out her music on the links that I sent you, she's an amazing artist, so just check it out, and you can listen to her. Like I said, an amazing woman as well. So business-wise, she's moving on up, as they say, and she's making some strides there as well. Want to give a shout-out to Adrian Smith, who has done everything possible to get the women's Team USA exposure out there, and she's on CBS as well. So hats off to her. I know, we have good connections with her. We'll try to work with her within the next year so we can elevate the women's game to a level of status of nationwide. So we're doing our part, and she's obviously done a tremendous job, including the rest of the women that obviously are participating beyond the backgrounds. And we got to give a shout-out to Team USA, USA Football, for supporting the women's gridiron game. So we look forward to Week 11 in the NFL, and we'll be back next week when Tom Brady returns to see if the NFC East will be captured by them. And we want to find out if Kansas City is for real. So hopefully we should answer that question next week or the week after and see if Kansas City is for real. So.
Yep.
Yep. Okay,
sure.
So Erica, thank you for helping out today on the board.
Yeah.
I know it was kind of last minute. I do appreciate you helping us out on the show. And we have enjoyed every minute of you being on our show since we started with the two-man show. And I've had feedback this week from all fans. And they're diving into your videos, skits, so they're really enjoying those. So keep them going.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. And I've loved being here and doing this, and I appreciate you inviting me. And I missed last week. It was weird not to do it. So.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened with the switchboard, but at this point, like I said, I'm getting supported by you, so hopefully going forward everything will pan out, and we will not have to cancel or miss a show at this point. So, We had a great Sunday. Look forward to tonight's game. So before we go, Erica, Cowboys, Saints, so who do we pick?
Saints.
Taking Drew Brees.
Yeah. If he
shows
up,
I'm gonna take Romo.
Like
just to challenge you, I'm gonna take Romo.
All right.
I think Romo will upseat Brees. So we have a difference of opinion there. I will take the Cowboys, and you're taking Brees.
Okay.
So we'll go from there. So Sunday night, Cowboys. Saints. So we'll get out of here. And like I said, thanks to Sammy for coming on board and giving us some time. We will reschedule, like I said, Bill and Megan Harrison next week, and we'll get them on here for the documentary. So Sunday night football, look forward to it. We'll catch you next week. It's been Oscar Lopez, and it's been Erica Lynn Anderson from AppHaps Girl 12 and Gridiron Girl. So we'll look forward to next week on Gridiron Beauties Radio once again.
Definitely.
All right.
Thanks.
Have a great night, everybody.